Hi, and welcome back to the Muswell Hill Methodist Church podcast. We had a great time celebrating Christmas, and we're excited to see what God has in store for our church this year. Today, we're hearing from Gladys Chingoka, who was preaching at our service on Sunday. You can see the whole service on our YouTube channel, or check out our social media to see what's happening soon. Now, let's turn to the Bible for this week's readings. Genesis 1:1-5. The beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Mark chapter 1, verses 9-13. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven
scriptures
being torn
came
open,
to my attention,
and the Spirit descending on him like
and
a dove.
The theme
and the voice
is covenant
from heaven,
service.
You
today
are my son
across
whom I love.
The Methodists.
With you I
everywhere
am well, please.
They are talking about a covenant.
At once the Spirit
God
sent him out into
and
the
some
wilderness.
Have engaged in prayers from day one
tempted
to
by Satan.
Day 10, some 30 days
wild animals,
of prayers
and
fasting
attended him.
To seek the face of the Lord,
Philippians chapter
to
4,
find
1
themselves in the presence of God.
Therefore, my brothers and
sisters, say, Lord,
you
renew me
and long
for 2024.
My joy
give
and
me
crown
energy to
stand
progress.
Firm in the Lord
give me
in
strength
way,
to remain
friends
steadfast. So people are praying for many things and for
and
various things. And one of
the
things
the
that we
yes
as Christians,
I
always suggest to pray for
help
is pray for your relationship with God to be strengthened. Because when you are strengthened in your commitment, in your covenant with God, nothing can shift your faith.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Even if things come difficult,
again,
you will not
rejoice
be shifted. From the scriptures we have read, I saw a place where the presence of God,
anything,
which is my theme for you today, how to protect the presence of God.
Present your
God himself is preparing the world to start. So wherever there is a beginning, there must be an agreement that has been made to say, now this is what we are going to do. Those that are in marriages would know what I'm sharing, that when you start a marriage, you start with an agreement that, yes, I do. I remember someone telling me, nowadays, I don't know, when I got married, we never used to do that. That children would go away on a trip, then they'll come back and say, we have engaged. That was not my time. But these days, that's what they do, isn't it? They'll come back and surprise you. Long time ago, people would come maybe through your auntie, your mother's sister, your brother's sister, or, you know, and you go together and you share your vows and exchange your thoughts and say, yes, I would like to marry this man. I would like to marry this woman. Are you serious? Yes, I am. Are you serious? Do you know what you are getting into? Yes, I do. And they'll say, okay, so watch the space from now. Then they give you a time frame. Maybe when are you coming back to propose for marriage? Then you say next summer, and they'll say that's fine, and they'll watch and nurture you through your journey. And when you make mistakes, you have somewhere to go back, and they'll guide you about marriages and say, anyway, you are now disagreeing, That's exactly what is going to happen when you go through your marriage. There are moments when you are going to disagree, but steadfast in your marriage, steadfast in your relationship, and the relationship goes. I was talking to another friend and I said, if at all I was going to rewind my life and people would ask me, would you marry the same husband? For me, I would say yes, because he's been very faithful and very kind. But for some would say, I'm not sure now, because what is happening is not it's not what I thought we got into the agreement for. I was looking at the government, and when they draw up policies and procedures, they've got a white paper that they start by drafting and saying, this is what we're tabling up for discussions and agree principally, and it might be followed through with then disseminating it into districts, into whatever. Then they become policies that we use in all the secular places. And I said, so when they are deciding, how much attention do they pay to these things? They have to think about equality in that process. They have to think about discrimination in that process. Whatever police, whatever white paper they are tabling, there's a lot of thought through that happens. That's the secular world. And I was also looking at how we agreements happens in the spirit. Hallelujah. We are back to church now. In the spiritual realm, there is God, there is Satan, who are always chasing one another. God is trying to tell you that when you do well, when you do good, my presence will be with you. If you rejoice in all circumstances, my presence will be with you. Satan is showing you the desires of your flesh, and he's saying to you, if you want money, I can give you very quickly and you can have it. But it's not clean money. Satan is saying, if you are boastful, no one will argue with you. And you carry your boastfulness. But the creator of earth and heaven is speaking to you and me today. And he's saying to us, if you want to be in covenant with me, carry my presence. Carry the agreement that we have done at the beginning. God, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And sometimes we question, do we have light in our lives? The speakings of God is light. The language of God is light. That's why we see Jesus saying to us in the book of John that I am the light of the world. Do we accept the light of God today? When you accept the light of God, you have accepted the first covenant with him. Then he says, okay, now you have my light on top of your head. You are walking about in the world. You are my light to the world. Light brings joy. Light brings peace. Light brings hope to the hopeless. Hence we see our founder men of this church says, I fight a good fight for the homeless. I liked to look after those that were destitute, those that were coming from the industrial areas, have not eaten, those that were sitting in street. And he says, I fight for justice. That's John Wesley. He wanted to fight for justice. And he says, let the Methodist people be a people who bring hope to the hopeless. And we see many churches that are in the whole world. We see many schools that are Methodist. So possibly in this country, maybe, I don't know what happened then, because John Wesley started here. Probably I'll ask someone who has got an origin from here. Because when you go to Africa, there's lots of Methodist churches for some reason. it was planted like vegetables. Because the Christians of the Methodist in Africa wants to bring hope, cheaper school fees to the hopeless, to those that are less disadvantaged, you know, to make sure that everyone can go to school. That's their mission out there. The covenant that John Wesley had at the beginning of the mission of our church is to bring justice, to bring hope to the hopeless. The covenant that God, each mission, each church has a covenant that God has instructed it to do in the earth. And the earth realm should experience light through Christians. I've got two more things that I wanted to share with you. How, as individuals, we should maintain the presence of God in our lives. Number one, passion for God and love for Jesus. When you saw the book we read in Philippians, Paul was writing that book when he was in prison in Rome. And while he was in prison, his thoughts were not about the imprisonment where he was. His thoughts about how can I continue to bring the word of God even if I'm in prison. And the church of today should be having the same passion, the same zeal for God, and saying to ourselves, even if the world seems to be declining, even if the church seems to be declining in numbers, God help us to have resources that we can take the mission, take the word of God to those that have not heard it, even to those that are prosecuting us, even to those that are causing to draw white papers that are not fit for the Christian. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to take the church to them. Help us to take the vision. Help us to take the light. When the light of God appears, another scripture says to me, when the light of God appears, all other evil will bow down. All other crowns will bow down. The presence of God will cause many things to change. That's the passion for God. Do you have passion for God? Brothers and sisters, this year I've been praying that, Lord, as I continue to preach, I do not want to preach an empty God who does not manifest. I want to see the God who shows his healing. I want to show the God who shows his power. And I'm still praying that God reveals himself in that manner. Because the world is so much in hunger of the God who solves problems, in the God who solves situations, the God who resurrects our situations, not the God that we speak only, but the God who restores. Passion to see God and love Jesus. Number two, the desire to please God. That is total obedience. As I was reading in the book of Mark, I saw this man, John. He had been sent to baptize Jesus. And he was so obedient to the level that he says, I will not, the man that is to come, the one I'm preparing his way, is greater than I am. And even his sandals, I cannot bow down to untie. And it reminds me the woman who was praying for so long, and he came to Jesus and said, even if you give me the crumbs at the under the table, I'm happy to take that because I know it's anointed when I come to you. Everything around Jesus becomes perfected. When we have obedience in Christ, many things get perfected. When we become obedient as preachers, as ministers, as people that are called to run Bible studies, as people that are called stewards of the word of God, of the churches of God, when we have desire to please God, certain things begin to happen. The book of Ezekiel is a good example. In Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel was so obedient to God that he took him to the valley of dry bones. And he says to him, because I've got a covenant for you to be a prophet of my word, because I am am God the creator who said, let there be light. So therefore, I'm going to show you how my light can change situations. You took him to the valley of dry bones, and every bone that was there rose up like a live person, and God breathed a fresh spirit, and everyone, and even skin begin to be there, and everything begin to be in order as a normal human being. That's the God that we are looking for in 2024, the one who is going to show us himself when we have desire to please him. May the Lord help you to desire to please the Lord like John. He had no boastfulness. He kept the agreement. He kept the covenant that his mission ends here, but someone else is going to carry on. If when we are choosing leaders, I remember in my times when I was still interested in leadership. Hallelujah. I'm not now. No. If people are choosing leaders, I'll tell you that my leadership nowadays is to focus on my preaching. That, I don't know why, but that's what God has to speak. I'm not telling someone not to take leadership position. Hallelujah. It's just what God has placed on my heart, that I now want to focus more on his word. I have chosen to desire God more. I've chosen to be obedient to him more, so that I can have intense moments of prayer and worship with him. When I have leadership, I used to have leadership, I was always looking for things that should be sorted, and sometimes I become very argumentative because I see things very differently, and that affected my spiritual journey. But it's not a problem to be a leader. You can still be humble while you're a leader. You can still be humble, and you still be obedient while you are a leader. So don't take that as a message. That is too serious. It's only for me. So number three. So I said you need to protect the presence of God. You need to have passion for God like John, passion for God like Paul. In prison, he's still thinking about us. He's still saying, rejoice in the Lord. I repeat, rejoice. When he's eating crumbles, when he's eating all things that are not worth in prison. Surely, passion for God, desire to please God, total obedience, because he knew his journey to Damascus was changed by God. He knew that he should have passion for Jesus, because Jesus told him and said, why are you persecuting me? Someone should be convinced today that if I want to have a covenant with Jesus, let my ways, my passion, my desire change. And as a result, you begin to experience number three, intense moments of prayer and worship. This is what happened at River Jordan. When Jesus was being baptized, then we see the dove coming down and saying, this is my beloved, the one I so love. Wouldn't you be happy for God to just suddenly appear in this room and we start all seeing flames and going, this is the church I so desire. These are the individuals that I so love. In your own house, then Jesus says, because of your passion, because of your desire to please me, this is my son that I so love. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, they were in prison and God suddenly appeared, because their system is in the intense moments of worship, because of their passion, their desire for God. It caused them to not to forget the presence of God, not to forget to come to church, not to forget to go to Bible study, not to forget to obey the seasons and the times of worship, not to forget to pray. And when the time came at midnight, here they go. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And the prisoners were looking at them and going, what? Who is this Jesus you think is yours when you are in prison? If he is told that is the one who set the captives free, why is it not setting you free? And they continue to sing to him. That's joy in the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter what is going on. When children are disobeying you, when parents are not talking to you, when sisters are in disagreement, when brothers are turning each other's back, if you know Christ between the two of you, if you are the one who knows Christ, continue to sing, continue to praise the Lord, for the Lord will show up one day. He will not leave you alone. He will not do that. He is the God of a good covenant. The covenant is my presence will be with you. I will provide you. I will protect you. I will be there in times of difficult moments. Brothers and sisters, the covenant is not only to receive Holy Communion. Hallelujah. The covenant is not only to baptize our children, but is to pray continuously for what we have done. Once I receive my Holy Communion, I go back and pray continuously that the presence of the Holy Spirit be upon me, that the blood of Jesus cleanse my sickness, that the food I have eaten, let this body consume me, that I may enter into the presence of God. When we are in the presence of God, many things begin to happen, as my last point for you. We begin to walk in humility. Then my problem for leadership will not come. Hallelujah. Possibly that time I wasn't very obedient. Possibly that time I had passion. Possibly it was not the right passion. Maybe it was a selfish passion. But when you have the passion of God like Paul, Paul had agape love. Love for everyone, even those that were persecuting him. Even the jailer, when he saw that the Paul and Silas chains is loosened up and they have been loosened, yet they were supposed to be in jail, he went and says, oh my God, I must kill myself because my boss, he says, please, just hang on. We are okay. And you are okay too. Nothing is going to happen to you. And guess what? Himself, the jailer, the one who was supposed to be the guard, they all turned to Christ. That's what our problems will do. When we are in the presence of God and worshiping continuously and being joyful in the Lord and showing that even if I am in prison, nothing is going to imprison me. Because the one who said, let there be light in Genesis 1 verse 3 is still in existence. The one who was told at River Jordan that the one who is here is the one whom I so love. His presence is over the world. He gave us his omnipotence to be across the world. I love it because that's one thing that Jesus never shared with anybody. His omnipotence. That's one thing that God never shared with any prophet, any preacher, anybody. He never shared the omnipotence. He never shared the omnipresence. He never shared the omniscience. Because that's the true covenant that he can only show up when the moments are ready to be. Hallelujah. I am saying to you, let's go away and have a life full of sacrificial to the things of God. To demonstrate our humility like John, like Paul, like Jesus himself. Because we sang at the beginning, holy, holy, holy Lord, God three in persons, right? And we are only demonstrating or showing that these characters in the Bible have given us a foundation of a better covenant to live in peace, in harmony, and in love with those that are around us and those that we shall meet. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you as you take the passion for God, the desire to please the Lord, intense moments of prayer and worship, walking in humility and giving yourself as a sacrificial giving for the things of God. Amen.
We're so glad that you came to listen to this message today, and we hope that you come back soon. You can follow this podcast on Spotify or Apple Music to be notified when we upload again. And until next time, God bless you.